Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome back to the Straight Spirit Podcast. I'm Lily, your host and psychic medium. Thank you. Thank you, listeners, for being here, listening, sharing the podcast. I know a lot of you have been sharing and reaching out to me through email at straightspirit1@gmail.com. And I can't thank you enough for your love and support and the fervor with which you are invested in these cases. It just blows me away, and I know that the victims and their families would be so grateful that people are even taking an interest. So we're very respectful here over at the Straight Spirit Podcast, and I know I have a respectful fan base and fam, as in family. So thank you. I love you so much for listening. I always like to say, if you want to share this podcast with your friends and family, please do so, not just for me, but for the cases that I'm reading for. Maybe we'll reach someone one day who could really use a reading about a case their family's involved in, or I don't know, maybe we can help somebody down the track. I always like to say too that I'm currently not making any money off this podcast, so there's no ads there. I have subscriptions set up, but I'm not using them. So I'm not making money off these cases. This is just something I like to do with my abilities. If I can help in any way, I'm helping. So, again, everything too in these episodes is all alleged. So I'm not accusing anybody. If there's a perpetrator involved and a name comes up, I'm not going to say that name. I will note it down privately and keep it separate. But, you know, of course I can't go around naming names and playing that's like whodunit, but I've got to be super mindful of the ramifications of the things I say too. But I will promise to give you the truth, to let you know everything that's coming through to me, every impression I get, everything that spirit tells me, source tells me, I tell you guys. And if I don't, I will say so. I also don't edit. If I edit, I will tell you. If I Google something, you'll be the first to know. I tell you exactly what I know going into these cases. So I think that's a pretty good intro. Don't you think? I might have to script one so I know what I'm saying every episode. But welcome, 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 all listeners. This episode is another MMIW case. For those of you who have been listening to previous episodes, I have also been recording other episodes I haven't posted yet. So I am working on Marion Barter's case, and there are other MMIW cases I just haven't put up yet. But tonight I'm going to be reading in the middle of the night Cheyenne Fox's case. All I know about Cheyenne's case is that is her quick video blurb stating that she allegedly committed suicide by jumping off a ridiculously tall apartment building, like 20 plus stories, but that her family don't believe that she did so. So all due love and respect to them. If they want to reach out, again, straightspirit1@gmail.com. If you'd like, if your family, close family to Cheyenne, and you would like to reach out to me or request that I keep this reading private, just let me know. All right. I have seen a photo, but I'm not looking at one right now. I'm just looking at my recording software. So I feel like I want to jump in without her photo up. I feel like I haven't looked at it since the video a couple of days ago. I'm just going to jump in and see what comes out. Okay, guys, let's go. She's got nice nails. She's, I would say she's really sweet and giving. Like, she could be very giving, especially to friends or sister, if she had a sister or siblings, cousins. Well, I suppose culturally, they're all sisters and brothers. But I feel like she would give, you know, like if you've got chewing gum, you're gonna share it with your friends. Or if you've got perfume or like a body spray or food, like I can see her giving to others, like passing it to me as she's sitting next to me. Like a really sweet friend to those she cared about, I want to say. Sweetheart. But, like, don't get me wrong, super fiery and, which is not a bad thing, strong, protective, but underneath, super sweet. Giving. Shouldn't have been doing what she was doing. It feels like, not like in a way to blame her. What this feels like is that she was caught up in something that she didn't deserve to be caught up in. Like the job was a dirty job that didn't suit a princess or a queen. That's the vibe I'm getting here. Like she's too good for that. She's too precious for that. I'm hearing like she'll always be my baby girl, and my baby girl didn't have to do that, or never should have had to, or do that, or do that. It never should have gone that way, or gone down the way it did. I'm just seeing like precious princess, real queen, like there's literal crowns. I'm seeing crowns, like princess tiaras. Yeah. Shouldn't have gone down this way. She deserved better than this. But not, you're not just her merging. I'm feeling like her life towards the end of it. Okay, I had to pause for a few minutes to do home stuff. Okay, now I'm a little more focused. Let's go. Yeah, she's my queen, or she's my girl. She's my, you know, I really, she's my princess. It really feels like this person who loved her so much, and I'm gonna say it's her dad. Or her family in general, the way they looked at her. I'm hearing words like top tier. She's gonna make it. She's the one. I actually wonder if she had a partner who thought of her like this, or if it's not, it's her dad. High hopes, and but in a good way, in a way that they just see the best in their child, in her children. I feel like she's very social, with particular people. She's got her arm around friends, like buddies. And I want to say that her dad probably felt like he lost her to to her friends, or to other people, social circles. It feels like she's showing me she grew up with him as like his little princess, his little girl, even if they weren't together all the time. Like mindset, like she was always gonna make it big, or make it in, out of there, or out of the res, or make it into something, make something of herself. And then as she grew older and things got complicated, complex, she started to drift from him and from that and into bad influences, poor influences. I do feel like she had some friends that really cared for her. But the vast majority of people I feel around Cheyenne, and a lot of the MMIW cases, MMIWG cases for that fact. I really feel like there are people around them who are just not nice people. And of course, hurt people hurt people. It feels like they have their own issues that they need help with. But the majority of the people surrounding these beautiful, beautiful women and girls, females and men and boys alike, are just dealing with their own problems. They're not the people that you would choose to be around children or young women. Like, they're just not the influencers you would choose. Not the role models, you know? When you see your teenager or a young adult child looking up to someone who you know is not good for them, like, the panic that comes with that, I would imagine, from a, you know, a good parent. Like, you trust them, but there's an element of, like, that trust only goes so far. I knew I shouldn't have let her. It shouldn't have gone on that long. That kind of shouldn't have given her so much freedom. Self-blame. She says to this person, which I think is her main parent, which would be her father, I suspect, is copying a lot of the blame from themselves. She's saying, "I love you. I love you, Dad. I love you, Dad. I love you, Dad. I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry." She's caressing his face, and she's sort of taking care of, I don't know if he's got a moustache or like a stubble, or is that, if not, his hair, his beard, goatee. It was the hair on his face or his head. She's sort of smoothing it. She's taking care of it. I actually wonder if she used to cut his hair or trim his beard or something, like, to help him out, because she's playing with his hair. She said, "Not to worry, Dad." She's saying, "Not so much worry, not so much worry." And she's giving a big hug around his face and head. And she's talking about him looking after her child. So, if when she emerged, he was taking care of her Baba, she's acknowledging that. If he didn't, like, if baby's elsewhere, she's just acknowledging the situation and thanking him for trying and taking care of them. She's saying she was a rat bag. She's saying, "I was your princess, but I was a rat bag too." She is saying that she made things harder for herself by refusing to choose another option. She's like, yeah, you know, in these stories, hands are tied. You know, girls who end up in prostitution or in making money in ways that are unpleasant for them, feeling like they don't have a choice. She's saying that she was given choices, or a choice, either by her dad or, like, she had an out. Even if it felt impossible, she really, if she wanted to, she could have gotten out. There are other cases where these girls don't have options. They reach out for help and it's not there. Excuse me. I really feel like Cheyenne had at least one helping hand. So whatever kept her in it, must have been pretty powerful for her to turn away, or like feel like she had to turn away from that out. It always feels like college, or getting a community college degree, or like a beauty school, or hairdresser, some hair artistry. It feels like I could have gone that route. I went this route. I don't know if she was in pageants or like as a kid, because I'm feeling pageant or like crowns. Like, if it's not like a big official pageant, it could be a cultural community thing. Anyway, beauty pageant, beauty queen. Of course, being a college student doesn't mean that you are safe if you are an Indigenous woman over there. Yes, as with the case of Ashley Loring, she was a college student, got caught up in some stuff and is missing. She did pop up on my radar just yesterday. I was contemplating reading for her case, and she popped up her beautiful head and said, let the others go first. I think she feels like there's a lot of coverage of her case. So I will do a reading for her in the sense she's just letting others go first, which is very sweet and kind of her. I feel like she's helping. She's helping a lot. She's sort of saying, like she's helping her sisters, her MMIWG sisters and brothers. And I feel like she's saying, you know, you really expect me to sit on, you know, have idle hands just because I'm in spirit. She's in spirit, she said. So she's helping out. Okay, let's go back to Cheyenne. Yeah, but they're both here. I can feel both of their hands on my hand. Cheyenne is saying about the fall. I can see with her handbag. Is this the bag she always had with her? She's saying, or like this stuff she always had with her. Something about that. She's always got this bag with her, this little bag. I don't know if it's like an overnight bag or if she was involved in prostitution or escorts work. She always had this go bag, like this bag of stuff she always had, or baggy. She's saying about the fall. I can see her down the bottom of the, like, standing before she goes in the building. She's saying, do you really think I would do that? She's like, ask my family. They know me. They know I wouldn't do that. It's like, of course, if there were drugs involved, you know, people don't make conscious decisions, but she's really making me feel like, and I can feel it in her chest, like this hurt her family has around the story that's being told about her, because she's not like that. She said, she's saying, don't they say that most women or females who do commit suicide, they go for typically, like, this isn't something I would say, this is something I've heard in other behavioral science videos many moons ago, that, and movies even, they say it, that girls usually choose other means that don't ruin their physique, I suppose, their physical body. So she's saying, like, it doesn't track. She's going, this doesn't track. She said if she was going to do such a thing, she would have just overdosed, or, like, on purpose. And I'm sorry if this is triggering for some people, but I got to say what she's saying. She's saying she would have just... she's talking about in the bath. She's like, pills in the bath. She's saying, why the hell would I throw myself off of building that tall? Like, that's enough to scare anybody. I really feel like she's saying she didn't do it. But the shame involved, I think she does feel culpable in a way for what happened to her. But she said to her dad, I would never do it. I would never do it. You know I would never do it. You know this. She's saying, tell my baby that I would never do it. I didn't do it. She said, I love them too much. I can feel her heart, her love. There's a little bit of pain in there, but it's not from her spirit self now. She's at peace in spirit. She doesn't need justice or revenge or anything, or vengeance. But she's demonstrating her feelings through this, these emotions. In truth, she's fine. There's nothing wrong, but she's giving me pain and love in her heart. And she wants to remind her loved ones that she's always with them and always with her her child. I feel like there's one. I don't feel like she. I feel like she didn't get to have more than one, but she would have. Yeah, she loved him. I feel like it's a boy, maybe a girl, but I feel boy. She's saying we were a happy family. Her baby and dad, and I don't know if Cheyenne had other siblings or not, but she's like, we were a pretty happy family until this happened. We were pretty good, like, for the most part. We were, like, of course there were issues. I feel like her dad really tried with her. Like, he really tried. I think, like, there are some good parents out there on the res, I want to say. There are good parents, and I think he wanted to be that for her. I can feel him going, how did it go wrong? How did this go wrong? Did everything I could. And I do feel her saying, you know, it's not your fault, Dad. She's saying, you know, I'm seeing him go through all the ways that he could have stopped this, could have prevented this. And she said, aside from physically removing me from the premises or stopping me from, like, there's nothing you really could have done. There's nothing. You couldn't have done anything. And she said, given the rate of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls over there, you know, she said if it didn't happen then, it was likely to happen elsewhere, right in her backyard, you know, right in front of home, right at home, like just on the street and through the res, you know, like the highway going through there or something. She's like, if it didn't happen there, it could have happened somewhere else. Like, she's talking about him being Superman. She's saying, you're my Superman, but you're not Superman. And, she's saying even Superman may not be able to help all the MMIWGs. You know, she's like, take the pressure off yourself, Dad. It's not your fault. Nothing you could have done. You did everything. I know you loved me. And it's time for you to let it go. I'm also wondering if her dad is still in physical. She's talking about his heart, so you may have to watch his heart. She's also saying that she was young and stupid. Like, even though she's intelligent, and all the girls are, she said there, you won't find a stupid Indigenous woman or girl out here. Like, we're not stupid. But the lifestyle choices and the people around us and the influences and the way that we're taught to live sometimes can impact. Our lives and livelihoods and the judgment that they receive. But I do want to say, I feel like not as judged as she thought, you know, like a chip on her shoulder, but I think she was just beautiful, and most people would think along those lines, you know, outside of America. It's actually interesting. I wonder if these beautiful women would feel differently if they, you know, were in Australia or, you know, away from the stigma. I guess they carry it with them, but it, you know what I mean. Or on an island in Fiji, where most of the people there have different colored skin, and it, you know, you don't feel like a fish out of water. Places like that, you know. They could have found solace. She's going, but, you know, how do I pay for the plane ticket? But now she can travel wherever she likes. And she's agreeing with me. Sometimes it's the place. It's the people and the places. And she is acknowledging that sometimes people who feel like they're being discriminated against, it is a paranoia. Like, the discrimination is there, sure. Not denying that, but sometimes people walk in with a monkey on their back or a chip on their shoulder, and they think that people are judging them, and no one really is. And I think she's like, oh, I understand now that it really wasn't as bad as I thought, like wasn't what I thought, you know? I mean, of course there are people out there judging, but it feels like the majority of people would be supportive of her in the right places. Okay. I'm seeing 17, young, you know, like Charisse. Charisse's episode is a couple episodes back. If you haven't listened, do go listen. That was a really good one as well. Okay, so I can see, I feel like needed money, and I can see Cheyenne putting on lipstick. Even if she didn't wear lipstick, it's symbolic. I can feel smell perfume, that bag, handbag, heels, or like nice clothes or fancy stuff, but you know, not designer, but just like nicer than t-shirts, a hoodie, and jeans. She's making it rain. She's making it rain with money. She's making me feel like I really would feel strongly like she was some sort of escort or like a dancer or something of that sort, a working girl, girl for sure, she's so young. She's making me feel like she just wants to get the money and cut out of there, like get the money and run. Like she knows that it can be dicey, so she's like, just get the money and get the... I'm feeling like her getting out of there, like it's just supposed to be a quick job or a quick role or a quick thing. I don't feel like she went and stayed to party. Like I don't feel like this is something where she stayed and were for a long time and just hung out. It feels like get in, get out. I bet it went wrong for her. I'm hearing clean up on aisle three, or like clean up. What it feels like, and for a lot of these cases, it feels like people just having their way or doing as they please and then just cleaning up. And when I say that, I mean getting rid of the evidence, just dumping people. You know, nobody's putting the girls first. They're putting themselves first. And you know, if they go a little far or they do something that they go a little crazy or something happens, then it's like, well, she's seen my face. I can't let her go. I actually found that with one documentary I did watch a couple of nights ago. I don't usually watch them, but I was very drawn to this one. One killer, a serial rapist turned killer, I think one of his first victims he let go, actually drove her home. And then she, of course, went to the police and he ended up being questioned and let go and all that. But, like, I think he learned, it's pretty clear he learned from that first instance not to let them live. After that, he's let his victims live because it's too much trouble with the law and being able to ID him. And for other reasons for him personally, but it's exactly that. In a lot of these cases, it's like the girls OD'd, or they took too much, or they saw something they shouldn't have, or they were used and abused, and then the guys, or sometimes women, dumped them after that, you know, did away with them. Knows too much. Like, it's better them than me kind of attitude. like, and especially up around those parts, nobody's gonna know. That's one song one meme that was playing in my mind when I was started thinking about Cheyenne Fox's case. Nobody's gonna know. No one's gonna know. That's what I keep hearing in my head. No one's gonna know the difference. And I think if somebody did this to her, which I do feel like, then they lucked out, because I don't feel like it's like a law enforcement agency, BC something or B something, hearing BC, whatever it is in my head. I don't feel like they investigated this through thoroughly, so that person lucked out. I actually think if they really looked into it, into who she was with, who was there, there would be major red flags, because I feel like this person has a rap sheet or has some prior issues. They might even be smart enough to if it was a hotel, then they would use a different name, or if they were staying there, they'd come up with some excuse. There was enough reasonable doubt. You know what this is giving me? It's giving me the vibes of that movie. What is it? Oh my goodness, I'm going to have to Google the movie just to get the name. I can see the actress. It's a really thought-provoking but shocking and movie. It actually makes you feel a bit gross to watch it, but it's worth a watch. Promising Young Woman with Carey Mulligan, that's the one. I'm not going to spoil it. If you haven't seen it, it's worth watching. The end, the finale of, let's say, the last scene that Carey Mulligan's character is in, that's the vibe I'm getting here. I feel like heavy weight on top of her. I feel like real heavy choking. If this wasn't what happened to her before she, like when she merged, this is like the treatment she was getting from people, like these guys that she was in and around. I just feel like almost being choked up there. It feels like such a heavy pressure on the bed, on her throat, that, and if it didn't happen at the time of emerging, this has happened before, but it feels like such heavy, if it's not her throat, it's her face, but it feels like hands around the throat, or pillow on the face, it feels like such heavy pressure that there's no care for her life. It's not like someone's just, I don't know, for those who are into such things, like fetish play or like light choking, for those who are into that, like whatever, this feels like this is dangerous, this is a threat, you know, to her and her life. There's no regard for her life. She wants me to look up her photo, so I'm gonna try and look at her photo. Before you start, when I started to record, there was a song playing in my head, and a part of a song, Dream Lover, Mariah Carey. And the section that was playing when I was thinking about starting this reading, and the song, these are the lyrics. I don't want another pretender to disillusion me one more time. Disillusion. I was really attracted to that word. Excuse me. Whispering words of forever playing with my mind. So I wasn't drawn to the other parts of the song, just that chunk, just that verse. And I think it's pretty telling of like the being used, being abused. This could for the, if it wasn't escort services, it could have been someone she was dating, but I feel like this was there's a transaction of some sort in here somewhere. If it's not money, it's other items. Okay, I just want to find, I'm googling a photo. I just want to see her photo. I don't want to see anything else just yet. I don't want to read about her case just yet. I want to keep looking at her. So pretty, guys. So pretty. Can I click on that without reading too much about her case? Let's see. Yeah, so I can just look at her photo here. So I clicked on the CBC News article, but I'm not reading. I've just got her picture up to the, it's taking up the whole screen. I can't see any of the words in the article. Is that a necklace or like a scarf? It's a necklace. She's beautiful. Beautiful eyes. And I feel like her dad hated to see her cry. Like her eyes, sad eyes when she cried. You don't want to see her sad. Even when she was a little girl, just sad. Broke her dad's heart, or broke people's hearts every time she cried. Yeah, there's like people, like a, I don't know, guy she was seeing or someone around her, like an ex-boyfriend or people like that who were not above board with her. I can see them upsetting her and then trying to talk her around it, like talk her out of her feelings, and she's just like not having it, like upset with them. That may not have anything to do with her being her murder or her merging, I should say, because we don't know for sure. This is like, it's interesting. There's her loving energy from her father, but then there's all this other male energy, more than one male, treating her not treating her right. But then I also think, I wonder if she had a partner who was good to her. Or like a guy around that liked her, but was like a love interest, but who was actually good for her. Like her father and him. Maybe the father, like it's possible they were the father of a child or something. Like she was in a relationship, but there are other men around. It's possible. I don't know. I just feel like a younger male good for her. And then I feel other males, like her family, good. Other males around, bad. She keeps talking about her clean home or clean apartment or clean... like taking care of the house, like keeping it cleaning something, like, or like being proud of keeping it clean, getting clean, staying clean, keeping the house clean, or like could be dad keeping the house clean, but it's like we keep it clean. I'm seeing lingerie under her clothes. I'm seeing makeup. This isn't what I'm seeing through the photo. What I'm seeing like in my mind, mentally. I'm seeing a lot of like hotels or like apartments. It just feels like, and they're so clean. Which is an odd occurrence, like to think about, which makes me think. Of course, it's not like a residence where someone, like, it's not a house that's lived in, and kids are making mess in, and family members are like polluting or making a mess in. It feels like someone cleans there, or like a hotel room exactly. So if this isn't the room where she was, this is like. in and around her. I just see her with a freshly made bed at the end of her, putting her makeup on. And she said, "I was really smart. I was really smart." She's saying people would look at her and see one thing, like her outside didn't match her inside, her smarts. She's saying, and these are her words, it's like smart like a white woman, going to college, being a doctor. She's like, "I could have done things like that." But she felt trapped in her exterior and in her body, and her body too. It's like her body, her soul, but it like told her fate. I'm hearing fate. I don't know if that makes any sense. I don't know if there's something like being propositioned and then giving in and thinking, like the money for her kid. There's no doubt that she loved him. "Light of my life," she said, next to my dad. "Light of my life." She's saying, "I could have done more with my life, but at least I had him. Like, at least I did that. At least I did something right." She said her father was a good dad. He was a good dad. Good grandpa. What's the word for pop? Papa, or grandpa over there. She's making me feel like I want to scroll down. Let's go with my voice. Did she smoke or something? She's saying go down a little bit. I'm just reading the first paragraph. Cheyenne Marie Fox, she was 20 years old, proud mother of a 5-year-old son. She was kind and approachable. Yeah, giving. I think your father just loved her so much. Loves her still. He also describes her as no nonsense and very accepting of others. Yeah, I feel that she understood the flaws in other people. She could see them in herself. But this is a really peculiar way to say this. These are not my words. This is how it's being described to me. Like, there are families who some would judge and describe as trash. And I would never do that. But there are those who, you know, not nice people out there who would judge and say this family is trash. But I'm feeling like Cheyenne and her family weren't that. It just feels like opportunity, money, jobs, careers, parts out. It just feels like they had more than some. But I don't feel like they wielded it on anybody. I think they were givers, real givers. Wait, what was that? She's saying something like wrong night, or that night, something about night. She's saying she was really hurt, like couldn't, body sore, all over, couldn't get up. She's making me feel like she's checking on her blood. Like couldn't breathe, which would track with a high impact to her chest area. It was cold, but she couldn't feel anything. She's like, just a mess. Her body was a mess. Inside, maybe. It feels like the body intact, or like mostly, or like things, maybe it's broken here and there, but the damage was all inside, like internal damage, like shattered. Feeling shattered. huge fear to anyone like who would have experienced what she experienced. Is this something? Yeah, I feel like she was dead instantly, but I also wonder if this was something about hearing, like, pulling the plug. Okay, I'm just gonna go down one minute. Okay, so I'm going down paragraph, I'm only three paragraphs down. This article's by Martha Troy from 2017. On the evening of April 25, 2013, Cheyenne's body was found below a Toronto high-rise where she had landed after plunging from the 24th floor. Yeah. Can go down one more. Police determined no evidence of criminal activity, but her father strongly believes she was murdered. I'm going to close that article now. To the track, she had a son. Cutie. He's growing now. I feel like he's growing now. He's dealing with his own troubles. I feel like it's damn scary for her dad or people that love him and her. It's like, oh God, couldn't protect her, and now how am I supposed to protect this one, you know? Giving up on the world, giving up, but not giving up on her. She said, "You don't have to fight anymore, Dad. Like, I'm with you. It's all right. I just wonder if there is a perpetrator in this case. I just feel like he's getting away. He's getting away. I'm not gonna catch him. Well, they might, but it'll be like." Unknown assailant just escapes into the night. But how they must know the person who owned the apartment and the people that were there. They must have. Gonna ask her some questions and she's just gonna see what she says. I'm wondering if there was a party in that apartment, but it doesn't feel like the kind of apartment that you could party in and get away with it, you know, like, I don't know, logically I'm thinking partying in an apartment is a stupid idea because, you know, neighbors, you've got rules about noise complaints, like, if you're gonna party, like, and get up to no good, it feels like you'd better off doing it on the res, like, if you want to be unbothered, like, no one's gonna find you there. This feels like a mistake. Because logically, what my mind is, what I'm thinking is, how could they not trace this to somebody who was there? And I'm also thinking maybe somebody lied there, didn't tell the truth about what happened or story, or there's an idea that she might have been alone when she went. She's going, what would I be there alone for? Why would I be there alone? She's going, think, you know, to people, think. Don't just assume that it's my fault. You know. theory or something that she climbed over the railing and tried to get down to another balcony or try to get, like... Because I'm seeing her climbing over slowly, like not trying to jump, but sort of climbing over to get down somewhere. So I wonder if that's a theory. I feel like also here launched, and I feel like if somebody wanted to cover something up, they could have just pushed her over, could have just launched her, and know like how easy it was for them or would be for them to say, or oh, she jumped or she fell, and then, you know, not, you can't prove it. Of course, if they did their due diligence, they probably would figure something out. But as we all know, these enforcement agencies aren't always. Not all of them, but some of them aren't. Okay. Allegedly. Pardon me. Okay. She wants me to read more. So let's do the Google bit. We'll do the Google bit. I feel like she was also very mature. Okay, what is this? In September 2014, her dad filed a statement against the police service, alleging negligence in response to 911 calls made, oh, by her. Oh my goodness. So what I'm reading here is that according to the claim, Cheyenne was allegedly a victim of human traffickers, which tracks with the mails I was getting around her. And like, it feels like work, transaction. Victim of traffickers who befriended her. Yeah, so these people who were like, I felt were coercing her or like trying to talk her out of her feelings. Like she was unhappy about it, but... and this is why I'm seeing all the beds. And exploited the fact she was a vulnerable young Indian woman. This is what I'm reading here. And then they were going to convert her into a sex worker. So this article is from 2017. Okay, I'm just going to read two more paragraphs down. So allegedly on the day she emerged, Cheyenne was assaulted by a taxi driver. Two people witnessed her jump out of the taxi and they called the police. And then after that, she ended up in an apartment at the behest of one of her traffickers to meet a customer. Right, so that's that feeling I was feeling about the apartment not being in the person that she was seeing's name, or like getting away freely. Like there was this, what's the word? Cunning, there's cunning here. It's not like the name that you're gonna find, like it's not obvious. Do you know what I mean? It's like a fake name or a name that they can, they've got an excuse for having that apartment or that, like you're not going to find her going to that person's home. Do you know what I mean? This is like a smart setup. Plausible deniability. Oh my goodness. She's saying there are better photos of her. And she's telling me not to let my energy fall. She's saying don't get too caught up in the sad part of it, and the strife. I need your energy high so I can communicate with you. Okay. I want to find another photo of her. Almost one where she was before, like before all this. She likes the photo of her and her baby, and the photo of her and her dad. She likes those. Which one do you want me to look at? The one of her and her dad. Where's the photo? I want a photo. Oh, okay. So I clicked on an article and the photo is not coming up. But there's a photo of her leaning on her dad. And I feel like... I feel like it's from a time before things got really bad. I feel like your dad has been really active, like he doesn't want to let her down. These are not her. These are not photos of her. There aren't many photos. Like, you know, just one Google search. Oh, her father's writing a book. Oh, wrote a book. Okay. What is this? Oh, somebody's written here on a photo of her. If Cheyenne Fox had the resources and support she deserved, perhaps she would have been able to follow her dreams. Yeah. She had dreams. Like, it's, I mean, all, we could say all women do, but I feel like she was, like, had the potential to get out, you know? But she just got stuck. Just got stuck. I feel like she was so young, but like I feel like mature. Like to look at her, to you know, she could easily pass for like when she's older, her makeup and hair and everything, she could pass for a much older woman. If she was a girl, you know, when she was a girl. I feel like maybe this stuff started earlier than 20. Like, this isn't something she just fell into. I'm hearing pattern of assault. It's just like everywhere she goes, assault. On her. Not, she's not assaulting people. And if she is, it's in self-defense. So she just couldn't get away from it. Go over here to get help, get assaulted. Go over here to get a taxi ride, get assaulted. Go over here to, you know, it just feels like it's following her everywhere. It's heavy. It's too heavy. I feel her being glad that her baby is a boy. Because her son wouldn't have to, like, he'll have his own issues growing up in that area, but she hopes he gets out. She's like, hoping he gets out and sees the world. Like, get out of there, get him out of there. It's not the area, it's the people in it. Refusing to help or lack of help. It's just poor management, poor lifestyle. But I do want to say again, even though some people might want to blame her dad, I feel like he really tried his best. I may be wrong. I mean, it could be wrong, but I do feel like she was cared for deeply. It's a shame that it happened. Okay. I'm feeling like her customer that night might have been a white male or light skinned. Just, I can see him just walking out of there, just disappearing off into the sunset. But feeling like he's protected, it really feels like this is, doesn't feel, I mean, he might have been a little bit like watching his back, but it really feels like scot-free and someone who knows that they're going to get away with this. Is someone who thinks that they're smarter than her, entitled. She knew what she was dealing with. I'm just hearing like, shut her up, because it was an apartment building, you know, getting loud. If she was getting loud and trying to get help or defend herself or speaking up for herself, I feel like he would want to shut that up really quick, really quickly. I am feeling like that scene in that movie. So if it wasn't a pillow to the face or a knockout, like it's something that wasn't obvious when she fell and they found her. So it could have been like a, let's say, a knock on the head or a pillow to the face or a, it's something that when they found her, it wasn't obvious what killed her. Do you know what I mean? Or like a poisoning, but it wasn't that. But some, you know, this was violence. This was utter violence. This was man on woman violence. Sheer strength and will. Sheer strength against her will. Yeah. Could have been a disagreement about money or money. It's like a disagreement about the amount of money paid, or so I don't know if the money was going to her or to whoever was trafficking her, but I feel like it probably would have gone to whoever was trafficking her. Maybe not. Maybe it's like it's a disagreement over the money, or like trying to get her to do something she didn't want to do, or doing something she was unhappy about. No. What was it? She didn't like that he did that. It's something that he did or was wanting her to do. It could have been shortchanging, but at the same time, I also feel like if that happened, he would have had trouble with the traffickers, right? So, either way, I see money, but if it wasn't a discrepancy to do with money, it was something, he just treated her like, shit. It was all nice when she first got there, but it, escalated or it destabilized super quickly. Like, shut her up. It's like nobody would care if, this is going to sound super crass, but during sex, people were being loud in the building. Like, nobody cares about that. Like, be as loud as you want with that. And the throes of lovemaking, which it wasn't love, obviously, I understand that. But it's like putting a hand over her mouth, like, shh, shh, being too loud. People hearing her? I feel like she was well within her rights to defend herself. I really don't feel like she did anything wrong in this situation. She definitely didn't. Just used and abused. Treated like a toy. Like a throw toy? She's a throw toy. I feel like he got really mad. I'm also wondering, like, what the blowback was with the traffickers, you know, if a client takes out one of their workers, is there blowback from that? You know, are these girls even protected in any way? Or are they just disposable? I feel disposable. Also feel like they're scattered into the wind at the news of what happened to her. Or what she did, apparently. I just got into the wind. Get out of there. I actually wonder if these traffickers have ties with the police department. That's not all alleged, but it almost feels like, make it go away, make it go away. Or like corroborating a witness, paying them off. Or shutting people up, you know, something like, make it go away. Too much heat. Okay, I want to click on this article. She's talking about bruises all over her body. Not necessarily from the fall, but she's holding like a bruise on her chest. She's going, I'm bruised. She's bruised. Top left shoulder on her chest. I'm hearing clavicle, like around there. Bruised. Often, she said an often occurrence, like these guys aren't making love to these girls who are trafficked or prostituting. She said rough, too rough, can't handle it. Don't want to handle it. This is not who I thought I'd be. I can do so much better than this. I just got to get out, you know? Just got to do this for a bit longer because of the money and just get out. If she's even getting money from being trafficked, right? It feels like there's a line. It's like her, like maybe escorting and then being moved into trafficking or like being coerced into prostitution and then it becoming full-blown trafficking. Let's just see what this article says, darling. Okay. So her father's book is called The Fire Within, if you would like to read it. They're just talking about his book. So I think, let me go back and read that. I think the takeaway from this episode is reading for Cheyenne's father. She's like, I'm talking to dad. She's like, I'm talking to her. She's talking to her dad now. She's saying, Dad, I never did it. You know, I never did it. And thank you for standing up and being so strong. But you don't have to fight anymore. Like, you don't have to fight now. I don't feel like he's giving up. If he's still in physical, he's not giving up. But tired, so tired. And she wants him to, if he's still in physical, enjoy the time that he has left on Earth. You know, she's saying, don't trade your life for this as well. Like, don't lose your life in this fight for justice. She said, maybe it's not about fighting, maybe it's about taking care of the community, you know, helping people instead of fighting for one, helping many. But she's just, I love you. She loves you so much. And she's thanking the people that stand up for her and talk about her. But she's saying, don't forget, like, these girls need mental help. They need security. They need community resources. Like, she's saying, don't just, like, outrage isn't enough. It's good, but it's not going to help. We need love and support and safety. if she like has a mum that's around, like, because she hasn't spoken about her, that's not anyway does not mean that she doesn't love her mum or anything. It just feels like her dad is so big and strong in her life, and in this reading it's all dad, you know. But she loves mum too. She loves everyone that loved her, that ever loved her. What is this other article? She does have a mother. She was so loved, she said. Saying that the police officer they spoke to was rude and flippant. Apparently, they said to her family, allegedly, according to this article, well, do you know she was a prostitute and on drugs? It is what it is. That's what the officer apparently said to her on over the phone. They weren't taking it seriously. How shithouse is that? Like, so what? So, but because, like, what if that police officer themselves were prostituting, hooking, and on drugs? What does that mean? That their life is worth less because they were doing those things? Like, since when did your job determine, or your circumstance determine the worth of your life? It doesn't. Stupid. Okay. Yeah, I just feel like the traffickers around her scattered. They, like, got bailed. They bailed. They may still be around in the area, but it feels like they laid low or got the hell out of there around the time. I'm hearing wrong night wasn't meant to be there. Was there another girl meant to go there? So after she bailed, so I'm reading this now, after she bailed from the taxi after an assault, people called the police and she was picked up by two people who drove her to where she was going. The police, TPSB they're called, arrived to collect the badly beaten and lifeless body of Cheyenne at 11 p.m., April 25th, 2013, it says in the statement. Of course, these facts could be completely wrong. And you know what I'm feeling like? I'm feeling like these enforcers or these law enforcement people who are supposed to be solving, like, actively. We're not getting Sherlock Holmes here. No. What it's like is they pick the body up on the stretcher and they go, oh, it's just another MMIW. It's just another Native girl or another female victim even. And just pick it up and, oh, drugs and prostitution. All right, there's no point in solving this. And then they just dump it, like, just dump the body. You know, it's there's no care taken. It's not like Gabby Petito, where everything was like, the earth was scoured. Do you know what I mean? Every word was looked at, all of her account. Like, they really looked. They didn't look here. They didn't look at all. That's what I feel like. Well, they may have done a cursory, like, done the bare minimum and just wrote it off. Oh, her baby lives with his grandmother. Yeah. Thank you. was that that I was just feeling? I feel like if they don't have a name, they could get a name of the person that was her customer that did this to her, I want to say. Or was around the time that some... It's got to be him, logically, but... if it wasn't him, it was one of the traffickers, but I feel like it's more like the customer, the person. I hate calling him customer because I really feel like that's too nice for him. This guy may even be leaving a trail of bodies. Like, hers was a crime of, it went bad, it went wrong, right? But how many, like, if it goes wrong again, he'll just do it again, but, like, get smarter. Because they can get away with it there. It's like the devil's playground, so to speak. She's just so pretty. I feel like I want to look at one more. Is that her? What's that? There's a photo of her dad with a young... Oh, with a son. So she had a brother? Maybe that was the male that I was feeling like her family who cared for her. So they've changed her cause of death to undetermined. Not suicide. Okay. All right. I do feel like I want to keep reading about her after I sign off this podcast episode. I just feel like there's so much more to her. Loving, giving, beautiful. She didn't deserve it. Smart. I also feel like she was a bit of a leader among her friends or her people. It just felt like her, if she was still alive, being able to help other women in her community or help people. I see her being a leader. Let's go one more article. This definitely isn't a case of a family that forgot her. Absolutely not. Is that her? One more article. So apparently the 911 calls that were made around Cheyenne that night weren't responded to. She just feels like she was... Is that rain that's falling? Oh, okay. So there are some alleged facts here. Let's see. And it's a shame that, you know, people were calling 911. Oh, it says, second 911 call came about 2 hours later at 8 p.m. from someone inside one of the units. The claim alleges... What? What is this? Sorry, I'm trying to make sense of... it's not a very well-written article... So this person saying that she refused to leave the place, but then it's almost there's another down here. It's saying she was forced to stay. Yeah, so the color. What? Someone said that she jumped. Who was this caller that said she jumped? That's what I was saying. There was maybe a theory that she climbed over or jumped. This article's not very well written. So it's a bit tricky to make sense of what they're saying. Like saying in one sentence that she, that can't be right. You know what I'd rather do? I'd rather read from her, like her family's words, I think, not from speculative articles. Okay, I know I said one more article like a while ago, but I feel like I just want to get the right information after that article, so due diligence. Well, here we go. Okay, now see here, this is what I mean. The facts are a little odd because that person said another call came at 8 p.m. and then this person's saying a second call came at 11 p.m. But that's allegedly when she, like 10 minutes later, they found her. It's a little up in the air. It gets murky when you try to read facts from Google. When I'm just reading the energy, it's much easier. There was drinking. She was trying to leave. Maybe there were other people there. No. But they said it was trafficking. Oh, gosh. Sorry, guys. These articles are a little bit going around a circle. There's a male who was with Cheyenne was supposed to take a lie detector test, but he was too traumatized to do the test. Okay, her father wanted to go to the spot where she fell and do a ceremony, and they wouldn't tell him. They said he'd get removed for trespassing. So I want to say, like, this is the shit that the families over there are dealing with. But I do feel like he will get what he wanted, or like, by him being loud, I think people are going to make those concessions for if they haven't already. She's saying to me, like, there's a lot of misconstrued, like, there's a lot of talk around it, but people don't understand what really went down. She said it was horrible. It was a fight. It was horrible. She's saying adamantly she would never leave her baby. She would never do that. She would never choose that. She'd rather fight like hell to get out of there and leave there bloodied and, like a massacre to get out the door. Like she would rather fight her way out than do what they're saying she did. She's saying love to her baby, to her bubba. Love to mum too. Her brother, if it's a brother or stepbrother, she's saying brother. I don't know, in that culture, it could be anyone. This is feeling the males in her family, or he maybe feels like couldn't protect her, or maybe he was quite young at the time. What she's really saying is the same thing. You know, you couldn't have done anything. You are my protector. Take care of Dad. Take care of Dad. Get him to do happier things. Because she said, I'm all right now. She's all right now. This justice and stuff that he's going through, it's for the people who are still in physical, her family. It's not really for her. She gets no benefit from it. It's for them. Okay. And like the ceremony, she said she doesn't need it. It's not important, because in truth, I'm here with you. And of course, cultural ceremonies are important, but what she's saying is, if they didn't let you do it, fine. You know, I'm here with you anyway. I'm at peace. She's saying she's good and she loves them all. Okay. All right, guys, I think I'm going to sign off that reading. I've got 27:27 on the counter. I feel like I've said this. There's all this to be said. Wasn't suicide. Foul play, for sure. It wasn't like what they made it out to be. You know, that she was this drunken lout. She's like, no, where's the respect for me in that? Even if she was drinking, she said, I'm not stupid. She said, I'm not stupid. And I'm seeing there are drugs involved. I just feel like she would never. There must have been someone she either trusted around, or someone she trusted or had to trust, who encouraged her to go there. It was like there was a safety line and it failed and it broke. If that makes any sense. This isn't what happened, but it's kind of like when you go on a date or go meet someone and it's your friend sets it up and they say, he's a good guy, you can trust him. And like in the case with these traffickers, I've set up this client for you. Just go in there and make the money, whatever, and whatever they fucking say to these girls and women, get out. But I felt like she couldn't get, like, she was stopped from leaving. It wasn't that quick getaway like she wanted. As usual, she's saying it wasn't the usual getaway. She's saying if it was a high-end escort service, or, you know, something that was a legal endeavor, that she would have had probably protection. You know, there would be fail-safes and security, like for women who are high-end escorts, there's probably with an agency or you know, a handler who actually cares about the girls, like there would be backup. But she's saying that the girls in these that are trafficked or like her in her situation are disposable, because there's so many vulnerable young girls out there around the res and in that area. If she didn't live in a res, then it's like in a very indigenous area, or I think you know what I mean. Sometimes it's hard to put all this big energy into words. Like girls in and around the area, in that area, around there, vulnerable, easy pickings, I'm hearing. She's talking about all the red dots lighting up on the map, like red apples, berries, like berries on a bush, red berries. All the girls that are missing and murdered lighting up on the map. She said, if we just took a little time and care, we could halve that. We could halve it. It's all preventable. She's talking about places and communities where people, you know, don't have high missing and murdered rates. They're peaceful areas. They do exist. You're saying if they can do it, we can do it. Just gotta care about each other. Support mothers. Don't, like, you know, tarnish their names. Don't treat them as less than. Was that when she disappeared? So she was 5. So her, I think her son would be about 15 now. Is that right? 14, 15? She's saying that she saw him grow up. She didn't miss a single thing. She's saying that, one good thing about it is that she was clear-headed. Clear-headed. Also, when she was talking about clean, being clean, keeping it clean, I wonder if she was trying to get clean or had been clean or wanting to. All right, anyway. She's encouraging her dad to let it go. While she appreciates it, she's like, this is no life for him. No life for him. Actually, what I feel like I want to do is just see if there's any current news. If I go Cheyenne Fox 2023, let's see what comes up. Yeah, nothing. News. What if I put in MMIW? I think the latest article was 2019. Oh. There are 2 other women, more, who disappeared or who were murdered in Toronto at the time. So no really new articles. Probably hasn't been much movement forward. I just feel her perpetrator getting away. It may remain unsolved for quite a while. It's going to take active investigation, and I don't think it's very active right now. It's quiet. I'm hearing crickets about the case. Okay, and this article says she fell at 10:30. The other article says she was found at 11:10 or something. Okay. What is this? Oh. Oh my goodness. I'm not going to read that in case I do a reading for it. But one of the other girls, one of the 3 that I was talking about, also allegedly fell off a balcony. That's not a coincidence. Come on. I mean, what, are Indigenous women just throwing themselves off balconies in Toronto? Oh, my God. It's stupid. It's stupid, some of these theories that they have. Okay, is there anything else you want to say? She said whether there were more than one people there or there was one. Either way, the same thing happened. She said, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening, everybody. I do appreciate it. Take care. Stay tuned for the next couple of episodes. And onwards, there is like an endless line of these cases to read. I've also got Australian cases lined up. But if you have any you would like to recommend, send them through to my email, straightspirit1@gmail.com. Okay, guys, thank you for listening. Bye. Bye-bye.